Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Dick Wamser speaking, and today is Sunday, May the 30th. And it's about 3:15 in the afternoon. I'm going to give you a tour of my space. Now, my wife and daughter are sighted, and we all live together. And I'll be touring the rest of the house someday when they're not home, but they're kind of running in and out right now, and it might be very difficult to do. So we'll give you a tour just of this office that I'm in that I spend quite a bit of time in. And before we do that, I have an editorial comment to make, which I hope nobody takes offense at, because I don't mean it that way. But it's something that maybe somebody can discuss with me before we start. I'll just mention this, that I've been born blind, as many of the others have who have made these podcasts about their space. Many others have had very limited sight, and they don't think in terms of sight. I think sight might just be something that they use because they have it available, but they don't really build their life around it. And for the most part, I haven't heard every single word of every single MySpace recording. But the vast majority of blind people, including myself, live in a pig pen. That's all there is to it. And many even admit that before they start, and I will admit it as well. So you know what you're listening to. If you want to keep on listening, that's great. If you don't want to, that's fine. And the reason I bring it up is because, you know, I'm totally comfortable in here. I can just grab anything I want to, and I know right where to look for it, and I know right where to put it. It stays there. I can just pick it up and use it. And yet, when I go out into the rest of the house, and that's my wife's and daughter's domain, it irritates me to no end, because if there's a blank spot on the wall, it has to have a picture hanging on it. If there's a shelf, it's got to have something sitting on it. You know, what's wrong with just a nice, blank, happy wall that's got nothing going on? And yet, they're organized, and they've got color schemes going, and they've got contrast going, and they've got, you know, different things happening, which is great. And yet, to me, it's very irritating. And here, they come in and they just shriek because just chaos everywhere you look, and everything you touch wants to fall over. And yet, to me, it's perfectly normal. And the phenomenon of it by itself is interesting just to discuss. But the thing that I'm getting to is we all have a problem with the sighted world saying, well, he wouldn't be able to do this, and he wouldn't be able to do that. He can't do his own laundry. He can't do his own shopping. He can't do his own cooking. He can't do whatever. And, of course, you know the answer to that question is not true. But looking at it from a sighted perspective, if you walk into this room, you would think that, because it's so chaotic. It's just like an 8-year-old's room. You know, there's nothing there that makes any sense. Anyway, if anybody has any ideas on that, it might be good to go into a podcast about it sometime and explain that to me, because I'm curious. I'm always curious about all kinds of different things. I'm using my Dell laptop today. The desktop machine is in sick bay again. This poor laptop, the desktop is 2.3 gigahertz with a gigabyte of RAM in it. I'm having nothing but trouble with it. This poor Dell, 400 megahertz machine, no screen, no lid, one key missing, running Windows 2000 Pro, just chugs right along. Anyway, let's start our tour here. This is a bedroom that's been converted into an office. And we'll start, luckily this mic cord is long enough, we'll start at the door. And I will ceremonially open and close the door just so you have a feel for that. Better move this chair out of the way first. All right, and here we go with that, just for a sound effect. Now, I'm a dedicated pyramid builder. And just love to do it. I don't know why, there must be some mental aberration there somewhere. But even at the dinner table, I'll stack up the salt and pepper shakers on top of each other. You know, you have the condiments on the table. I'll see which jar is the biggest and which is the smallest, and I make these little pyramids. But this is right when you come into the door. First of all, you have a very difficult time getting through because I have a cabinet to the left of the door. And to the right of the door, the closet actually juts out into the room. So in my case, if I'm walking right through, my shoulders almost touch between the metal cabinet and the door. That's what a narrow space it is. And that's not a problem. It's only a problem when you're carrying something and you smack it into either the wall or into the cabinet here. But we'll start at the very bottom of our pyramid. And the first thing we have is a 3-door cabinet that I got at a yard sale back in 1996, I believe. I'm not sure what it was for, but it was part of some other arrangement because there are screw holes on the side of it, and it's one of those sawdust and glue type things. But in any event, the doors are on rollers, and back in the glory days of the cassette tape, I had 30-minute cassettes in the bottom drawer, 60-minute cassettes in the middle, and 90-minute cassettes in the top drawer. And I'll roll one of these out here and back in, so you hear that. Okay, when you get to the top of that, it's about knee-high. And then bolted to the top of that cabinet is the metal 2-drawer file cabinet. And I didn't check the drawers, but I think they're about 9 inches. Well, let me see, find something quickly to check that. I think they're about 9 inches. Let me grab a Braille volume here. Okay, so you could put a Braille volume in there, except that it would stick out if you put it in like you normally would stack it, you know, so you could have it vertically, it would stick out the top of the drawer, but it would fit from left to right. And I suppose there are maybe, oh, it's probably 18 inches deep, just to give you some vague idea what kind of cabinet we're talking about. Put this book back here. Everything has to be neat. We can't leave things out, right? All right. Anyway, on the bottom drawer of this cabinet is some Braille supplies. I was teaching Braille classes until the funding disappeared. But anyway, I got Braille paper and Braille books that I never used because I didn't like them. They have Braille alphabet cards, slates and styluses and things of that sort. But I also have some cables. I've got some USB cables and an extra printer cable and all that sort of thing in that drawer right there. And the JAWS version 4.5 and the huge box that it came in, if you remember that, and a few other odds and ends in there. Drawer above that is all my software, my Windows XP software, Office 2003 software, whatever else I use is in there. And at this point, it's about 4 feet tall. Bolted to that is another cabinet exactly the same size. And in the bottom drawer of it, I have Talking Book magazines and my RFB&D CD books and other CD things that I get from people because I send CDs back and forth a lot. And these CDs are in what you would normally think of as a Talking Book container with the, you know, it's just a fiberboard box with metal corners and the little cotton strap and the buckle to hold it shut. But these are 5 inches. They originally were for open reel tapes, but they work fine for CDs if you put a lot of padding in or send a lot of CDs, one or the other. And also, our local library for the blind puts out Alfred Hitchcock Mystery Magazine on cassette, and they come in the regular NLS-type magazine or book boxes. And then on the top drawer, I have some extra cassette tapes, but mostly that's my letter tape box where all my people that I send letter cassettes to live. And again, odds and ends there that really shouldn't be there, but they're there. So at this point, you're about 6 feet tall. And on top of that is a box with diskettes in it, some of them used and some of them new. My 4-track GE recorder sits up there in its carrying case, and I've got a few little microphones and things piled up on top of that to see where they'll fall if they fall off. Okay, so much for that. Then to the right of that is one of my two Sony Bookshelf speakers. I don't remember the model number, but I bought them new about a year ago. They're about 10 inches wide, about 14 inches tall, and foot deep maybe, walnut finish. They sound reasonable. And inside this bookcase, there are two of these bookcases, 3 feet tall and about 4 feet wide each. They're side by side. And this is my lifelong goal. I was able to get 600 old talking books here probably 10 years ago or so from a retiring librarian. And to make that long email exchange short, he said, "You send me empty boxes and I'll fill them up and send them back." So we had the post office busy for quite a while. They were going to throw them in the landfill, and I couldn't see any point to that. I'm not a very great devotee of modern literature, and so I kind of bury my face in the sand here, my ears in these books. They're going on to CD very slowly. I've got probably 75 of them done so far, and boy, does studio recorder ever come in handy for that when the needle gets stuck in a groove or you have to jump over some things that aren't quite right. Some of them are in mint condition, believe it or not, and others are not, of course. But the latest one, I think, is 1973, maybe 72. And the oldest books are not complete. They're fragments from 1938 to 1939. I've got one here that's a real treasure. It's part of a two-record set, and it was done apparently by somebody in Cornell University, and they went out into the New England area to record bird songs. And this particular sides that survive tell exactly how the equipment was manufactured, how they, you know, it was all spring-driven, of course, except for the amplifier, but it's just a fantastic thing. Off the track, get back on the track. Okay. There's also a swivel chair in here, an office chair, which just kind of bounces back and forth. And on top of the bookcase, all the way across from one bookcase to the other, are mainly 3-inch binders with Braille paper in them, different things, mainly documentation for software and different things I've saved. I write a letter to my puppy raiser family, or not my puppy raiser family, but Clayton's puppy raiser family once a month. I don't have to, but I just think it's a great idea. They've done their work for at least a year. I should at least reciprocate and tell them what's going on. I've got all that in Braille just as a keepsake. And I have 3 CD holders of the same size, same basic design. And so there's quite a bit of weight up there, not to mention the weight of the records inside. And then at the very end of that bookcase is a very small plastic box, and it has office supplies, really, believe it or not. Staples and paper clips and Dymo tape and all that good stuff that you'd normally find in an office, if indeed it was that. And on the very top of that small box is another pyramid. And one of the things it has on there is another wonderful thing that I've been able to keep and survive with, are old IBM computer cards, if anybody remembers those. It's a long, skinny card. I suppose it's about 7 inches long, maybe 6 inches long, and one corner is shaved off. The old punch cards, I've got a whole stack of those here. And I've also got some 5x8 cards and 4x6 cards, and at the very top of this stack is a Scotch tape dispenser and a stapler perched happily side by side to keep the cards from getting knocked down. So anyway, that's my only pyramid assembly for a while, and we'll turn the corner to the next wall. Also, in the case of the bookcase and the nightstand I'll be coming to shortly, that's where Clayton sleeps. There's a rug there for him, and so he sleeps right next to those records. And so anytime I want to do a record, I've got to make sure they're hairless, which is quite a chore, but it works well. Anyway, let's turn the corner and go on to the nightstand. The first thing you come to at the end of the bookcase is a small nightstand, and this is quite small. It's probably about 3 feet tall. On the top of it is my 1992 vintage type and speak, which works just fine, except it doesn't shut off anymore. And if you bang into it too hard, you reset everything to zero, so I don't use it as a portable unit anymore, but I do have a Braille embosser, and I use it to print in Braille, because I can import things into that. And for example, in an actual document, it's pretty easy to take out the extra lines between paragraphs and change things around to make it much more Braille friendly. There's a drawer underneath that, and inside that drawer is a collection of different things. I have an old electric razor carrying cases that I've salvaged. And in one of those are wire nuts and butt connectors and things that have to do with electronically wiring things together. I have another container full of adapters, you know, 1/4 inch to 1/8 inch and vice versa, mono to stereo, stereo to mono, little things like that. And then just lots of magets and that accumulates in those drawers. I have a talking thermometer. I've got a dead sound card, a battery that I probably should throw away, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then at the bottom, there's just a shelf in the bottom that has more cassette tapes, but these are priority tapes that I want to get converted over, and we'll talk more about those later. To the right of that is a record cabinet. And on top of that is my Braille embosser, which is huge. It's about the size of a table model TV set, and it weighs probably 50 pounds or better. And if I still have my hearing after running that thing for more than 10 minutes, I figure I'm lucky. That's just the noisiest machine I've ever heard in my life. Inside of that cabinet are LPs to also be put onto CD. And they're open reel tapes that I have to put onto CD someday, probably 100 of them or more. And I'll probably never do it because I don't think I can coax my 2 machines into running that long. And again, another thing that I'm quite interested in keeping is an old 8mm sound film, maybe 16, must be 16mm sound film, that I was able to acquire from a high school which was getting rid of their movie films. It's a nice junior high school, what do you call them, propaganda film on hygiene, as I recall. And then at the very bottom of that record cabinet that sits on legs is a small, very workable Remington portable typewriter. And right now on top of the embosser is my box of Braille paper. I just keep it off the floor because, again, Clayton is near there and all the dog hair flies into it, so I try to keep it off the shelf if I can. To the right of that is another, I'm going to turn this volume down on my sound cards in here, that network cable unplugged every 30 seconds. To the right of that is my laptop, which is sitting on top of an LS combination machine that I just love to death. And also on this table, which is a TV table, is my telephone, and there's also a power supply for my turntable, which I'll get to shortly. I should even turn that off, I'm not even using it. And there's still room for odds and ends like CDs or whatever you're working with, Braille paper or something. Now, this table was originally designed for a TV set to sit on a table model TV. Underneath that, you had a spot for a VCR. And right now, I've got my Radio Shack 1996 vintage dubbing deck in there that's about ready to die. And I have looked on the internet and I can't find any dubbing decks anymore. I guess they're kind of a lost art. And then inside of that, there are two doors underneath that, and those are, it's full of LPs to be put onto the hard drive and eventually onto CD someday. I've gotten a big jump on that score too, but we have a lot more to go yet. And before we go any further, I wanted to make a comment about plugging things in. This record cabinet is not on rollers, and everything else we're going to be talking about is on rollers, or wooden rollers that swivel from side to side or roll straight backward and forward. And there's enough space that I can move things sideways in case I drop something between one table and another. I can shove something sideways and reach in and grab it so it isn't completely jammed full. But behind this table, I've got my power supply to the Type and Speak plugged in, which I can also switch over to the disk drive. My Braille embosser is plugged in, the stereo is plugged in, the dubbing deck is plugged in, the power supply to my turntable is plugged in, dubbing deck is plugged in, my Pioneer is plugged in, and my portable hard drive is plugged in there, and the printer is plugged in. So you have a lot of plugs right there, but they're all happily ensconced and no problem whatsoever. So now we'll move on to the right again. And then to the right of that is another pyramid, and this is a kind of a homemade, but also it came in the way it is. This is an entertainment center, commercially available entertainment center. It's 6 feet tall. And originally, it was designed with glass doors in the front. When it was in our living room, we had the glass doors on it. When I moved it in here, we took the glass doors off because they really were in the way. But anyway, it has the two doors at the bottom, just like the table did. And that's crammed full of LPs also. I have, I think, three or four of these Longines Symphonette sets, which is not the greatest in the world, but they're still in the original shrink wrap. Hadn't been opened yet. I got them at yard sales. Anyway, that's crammed full. And then above it is my receiver, which is a Marantz stereo receiver. I got it used. I'm not sure exactly how old it is, but it can be used with a remote control, but I'm only about a foot away from it, so I never use it that way. But it has the typical inputs and outputs in it, and it does well. And then to the left of that, I have storage space for odds and ends. I can put CDs and floppy disks and things I'm working with. Right there they are. And then above that is my turntable. It's a Pioneer turntable. And it's a two-speed turntable, which was originally part of a mini system, and I got that used as well, and that's why I have to have a power supply for it, because it was meant to run on 12 volts DC. This turntable has a dust cover on it, and it's a problem only because the dust cover takes up a lot of room, so you have to have a bit of clearance for that dust cover to tilt up and down, and so that's wasting a lot of shelf space in one sense, but that dust cover certainly does come in handy, without a doubt. Above that is the Pioneer dubbing deck, which is from 1978, I believe. Works fine. And I have room on each side of it also to store things in it, but it has separate mic and audio inputs. It comes in handy. When I do letter tapes, I keep all my notes there, although I usually use my GE recorder to do letter tapes, because most people only have NLS machines anyway, and it's silly to use that machine for doing a stereo recording when a person can't enjoy that. And then it's about 6 feet tall, as I've said, and at the very top is my HP printer, because you can just reach up and grab the paper as it comes out, and when you load the paper you've got to get up on a chair, but that only happens once in a great while. I also have an 80 gigabyte portable hard drive that I had sitting up there, but I moved it because it would sometimes hum enough to make noises in the LPs I was doing, and especially the talking books where the record level is very low was a problem. And that takes care of that wall, and then you make another turn and you're in front of the window. And in front of the window is a recliner chair. It's a recliner rocking chair with a foot that pops out, which I think is just wonderful. Right now I've got my headphones hanging over the arm of the chair, which is its usual spot. And we'll go on from there. The chair is set up in a rather interesting way. It's on glides, so you can slide it back and forth on this floor and doesn't hurt a single thing. So right now to the right of the chair is the entertainment center. It's about a foot away. If I reach over to my left, it's quite a reach. It's probably 2 feet to get to the next item, but I can slide the chair that way and get to it right away. There's a trash can between the chair and the next table, and that'll be very important here in just a minute or two. Okay, off to the left then is my last table, and it is facing the side of the chair. It could be turned the other way. This was originally a kitchen microwave counter, or microwave holder, I guess you would say. And it has three shelves. The bottom shelf, I've got Braille paper down there. And I think that's about it at the moment, but there are other things here and there. And then on the middle shelf, I have an old 486 computer. I want to get into DOS with one of these days. I talked about that before on another podcast. I've got a DeckTalk speech card that's 14 inches long. For those of you that are in computers, it had barely fit. I had to move the video card off to the side because it wouldn't fit anyplace else except where the video card was. My problem now is that my floppy won't work. It's dirty, and I've got a cleaning cassette, or a cleaning diskette rather, but not the fluid that goes with it, so I've kind of hit a stalemate there, but that's kind of in the back burner. I get so tired of writing a letter to somebody, and my Microsoft update has to pop up, and my AVG has to pop up, and my Microsoft Office update has to pop up, and I just get so tired of getting irritated, so I just let it go back to DOS and enjoy myself. And then on top of that table, the top shelf is where my desktop computer would sit, and then next to that is my scanner. And then between the computer and the stereo are a double set of cables. The tape output of the stereo runs into the sound input on my sound card, and the sound output of the stereo goes into the computer goes into the sound input of the stereo, so I can listen to the computer through the stereo, and I can record from the cassette deck or from the turntable. I don't record from the radio because I can get it on the internet in much better reception usually. So that doesn't work, but I do. The stereo and the computer are very closely integrated with each other, as would be the laptop if I chose to use the laptop, which I often do. Okay, so now we make the turn again, and we're on the last wall, which is part of the closet I talked about before. I have a Perkins Brailler sitting here on the floor, which has a number of different possible locations depending on what I'm doing with it at the moment. And this is just a standard size closet that you would normally expect to find. And it's Faber McGee's closet, except it is in the hall. It's in the office here. On the back of the door, where you normally have bathrobes and things like that hanging, I've got a carrying case for my laptop computer, which is empty at the moment because I'm using it. And I have an APH Handy Cassette 2 carrying case that I just use for odds and ends. I wanted to get a Handy Cassette 1 case, and they didn't have it. I just have the 2, but it was so convenient, I just kept it. And I have Clayton's leash up there, and sometimes I put a hat up there and some other odds and ends. But the laptop weighs quite a bit, so it's got 20 pounds hanging on this hook, and I make sure it's really solid because it's just one of those cardboard doors that you see nowadays. And on the floor in the closet is a Sony 105 that works just great, except it runs about three quarters of a tone slow. And an old Sony TC220 tape deck, that's what it is. It had speakers originally, but the speakers are long since gone. Just about done, but it's still limping along. And something on the order of 600 cassettes I'm hoping to dub off someday. I should live so long. And my only happy thought about that is I keep on thinking I should have gotten some more tapes done today. But on the left-hand side of the closet is an access panel. Behind that access panel is our hot water heater, which is a 40-gallon hot water heater. And maybe one of these days that heater will spring a leak and flood everything out and I'll lose all my tapes, and that would be one monkey off my back, so I don't have to worry about that. On the top shelf where the hats and things like that would normally go, I've got pickup bags for Clayton, and I've got Radio Shack talking multimeter. I've got a couple extra tape containers and all kinds of other good stuff up there. That's great. Canon WD-40 and all kinds of other things. And now you're back to the door again. And you think, well, that's great, except how do you use your computer? You don't have a computer desk in here, and that's true. I don't want one. See, this is another reason I say that people who look at a blind person's way of doing things are so shocked, for lack of a better word, that you wonder, it's no wonder they don't think you can do anything. Because I just tilt back this recliner chair to whatever comfort level I want, and I reach over to the top of the trash can and I set this ergonomic keyboard on my lap and just type away. I can type for hours. I don't have any wrist problems. I don't get any cramps in my shoulders and my neck from being stiff. No problem whatsoever. If I want to scan something, I put the keyboard on the trash can, pick up the scanner, put that in my lap. I've got total control over the book. I can scan it, you know, vertically or horizontally, depending on the book that I'm working with. I know it's perfectly straight, perfectly square. It's handy. I just reach over and press the rescan key, or else I have it scan automatically. Just a wonderful way to do it. I wouldn't have a desk here if you paid me to have one. There's no need for it. And probably the best thing that most modern homes have is that, you know, the windows now are not windows that you used to have, where you have two different sets of windows. These windows slide sideways. And that means that the window ledge is about 6 inches wide. In fact, it's exactly the right width to set a CD in an envelope back there. And it fits perfectly, just to give you an idea. And this window is about 2 feet wide. I've got my GE Super Radio sitting back there. I've got a talking compass sitting back there. I've got a cassette, not a cassette, mini cassette recorder, a digital recorder, and just any other thing. My portable hard drive is there too, and that's, I want to just comment briefly on that. You know, there are two schools of thought there. Some people say run it all the time instead of turning it on and off and on and off and on and off and on and off. And other people say just leave it running. So I just leave it running. And the way it's perched here, one edge is just up above the trim of the windowsill. And the other corner is sitting on the track of the window, which means that the bottom where the air vents are is about 2 inches off the sill. And so it runs much cooler than it would have run otherwise. And I think that's a good idea. And the clicking that you might have heard is a light here. It's just what I need most in the world is a light. But it goes along the whole top of the window. It was here when we moved in. It's a halogen light. And it has a globe at each end, and they're adjustable. You can swivel them back and forth and up and down. And they're actually two bulb. It's a regular bulb. It's not fluorescent. Just a regular incandescent light fixture. And that's also plugged into where those other things were behind the table. So that's my space. I should say the ceiling in here is about 10 feet tall, as is the case in the closet. And I believe it or not, I even have room to put more things in here. I can probably cram in a few more if I get a chance. Let me back up and talk a bit about the entertainment center for a minute. The turntable doesn't weigh anything, but the LPs do. They're probably close to 80, 90 pounds, I would imagine, but they're on the very bottom. And the dubbing deck, or the Pioneer deck, is quite heavy. That's probably a good 40 pounds of it or so. I'm kind of reluctant to put anything else in there. I think we have an extra shelf out in the garage that would fit in that entertainment center, but you know, they only have these very small pins that the shelves set on, and I'm afraid if I put any more shelves in there, the whole thing's going to come down on my head someday. So I guess we'll stop building pyramids at that point and be happy with what there is. Anyway, I will give you a tour of the rest of the house when there's no one else home, which is quite often the case. It will walk around outside and inside. It's quite a very comfortable and very nice location and a nice home as well. So this will conclude my space, and this is Dick Wamser saying thank you for listening, and I'll be chatting again soon. Thanks also to all those who have also sent in their comments on information on my space, and especially to the individual who is doing the Gold Wave recordings, whose name escapes me at the moment, because I've used GoldWave since 2001. Had no idea that you can alter a file without having to save it and reopen it again, so that was a revelation to me. I've got to practice that later today. And also thank Larry for his generous use of the server space for us to put our blather on. If you'd like to get a hold of me, my email address is snap, S-N-A-P-P, that's Sierra, November, Alpha, Papa, Papa, at computer, connect.net, all one word. Anyway, y'all have a nice afternoon, evening, or morning, whatever you're having, and we will talk again really soon. So long for now.